maybe if the comic takes off, you know, we'll see where the podcast wants.
Yeah, one of those two, right? It's always the, right. I say the same thing. You know, I just recently, I went to Secret Stash in New Jersey and I brought my comic there. And I'm like, if there's one place I can get my book into, and I've always said this, like, growing up, if I ever write comics, I want to have a book there. And they politely passed on it for now. They're like, we're full on the local section. I'm like, that's fine. I'm going to try again in a couple months.
Okay. Did you give them Wasteland? Or?
I did. Okay. Yeah.
Mike passed on it? Was it Mike?
I think it was Mike. Yeah. Yeah.
My oldest daughter got to go there with my mom. They went on to New York City, and my oldest daughter made her stop in there.
Nice.
I'm going to go next year. I'm going to Terrificon in August, I think.
Okay.
In Connecticut. So I'll swing by there on my way up there.
It's a beautiful shop. That was actually my first comic shop. I'm from New Jersey.
Ooh.
So that was my first ever comic shop I actually frequented. My grandparents lived down the road. So every time I went up there, I would go to the shop, you know. That's why I said, like, if there's ever one shop I want to be in, it's that shop.
Right.
So that's like, that's my version of hitting the big time, you know?
Right.
So
that's one thing I want to do too, is if the podcast and book take off a little bit, I'm going to open a comic shop. So half studio, half comic shop. So
the dream right there, for real. I talked to my wife yesterday, where I live in, like, we call it Chicagoland, so it's the western suburbs of Chicago. But we have a really cute downtown area with a bunch of vacant shops. And I'm like, if we could just hit the lottery, this even the smallest lottery, I want a shop there, you know. But
that would be awesome. You know,
it would be. I mean, just that has been, you know, the kind of like the end all be all for everything, you know. Ever since I got into comics, it's like just to be in a place where I love to talk what I love to for so long. When I was in college, I went to college in at Full Sail University in Orlando, and my shop that I had was pretty much right next to my apartment. So I would frequent there every time, to the point where, like, I actually was volunteering and getting paid in comic books at times, which was great too. So I have like a stack of books that were just, hey, this is for you for doing your work today. Thank you. And I'm like, oh, I'll take it. You know,
yeah, heck yeah.
Comics. That's the better way to get it.
Yeah, I've toyed with doing it live. I don't know. I'm still, like, just figured out how to do the whole green screen videos on TikTok this week. So, you know, I just did a few of those.
I saw the Daredevil one before we started.
Yeah, I worked on that for like 2 hours this morning, just trying to learn it, right? Yeah. I don't even think it was that good, but whatever.
I mean, the fact that you had Stephanie Phillips on your podcast is really cool, man.
That was amazing. She was.
When I saw that pop up, I'm like, dude, hell yeah. That's amazing.
She was super cool. Her editor, Will Dennis, being on there too was amazing.
Yeah.
And he's the one that orchestrated it all. I talked to him. I sent him an email. And yeah, I mean, you know, all they can say is no, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
that's like my mindset right now too. I hit up a few more comic shops within my area. And it really came down to like just me getting over the fear of rejection, you know. And I was like, you know, the worst thing to say is, you know, right now it's just not a good time. And that's what I have to own up to and deal with. So I actually have two meetings this week, Wednesday and Thursday, with a couple of shops to drop off Wasteland. So
awesome.
Pretty excited.
Yeah, I've been thinking about how I would do that. So if I had a shop, because what I would think would be really cool is have like an indie wall and then like put little tags on the like on the shelf with like a QR code, like the thumbnail of the episode, and then like a QR code to the episode, like, so if they've been on the podcast, put it, you know, a little thumbnail there, you know, a little card there. I thought that would be cool, but I might have to limit to like 10 a month or something. I don't know how I would do that.
Yeah,
you know, can't go broke.
No.
The you know, it is what it is. But let's get started. We've had a great conversation already, and I'll probably have to move all this into it, but that's fine. But we'll do an intro real quick, and then we'll keep it up.
Hey, comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
So welcome to Talking Comics. I appreciate you being here. We have Dominic Prince with us. Before we jump into the comic, even though we've already talked a little bit about it and some cool other stuff, just tell us about yourself and, you know, your background.
Yeah. My name's Dom. I'm relatively new to writing comics. I should say I'm new to publishing comics. I've been writing stories for about 15 years, but I've done nothing with those stories. And I've been very timid on letting people read them. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago-ish when I was happy to be on TikTok and I saw someone who, it was a video of a guy sitting at a table in Walmart, and he had a stack of books in front of him and no one was talking to him. And this video, this video blogger walked up, content creator, was like, "Hey man, tell me about your book." And the guy started talking about it. And now this guy is a bestseller on Amazon. So I saw this guy and I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it, you know? Right. And it's just a matter of putting myself out there and being vulnerable. So, for 15 years of writing stuff, and now I just started really getting into the creation of it all. Wasteland, which we'll talk about, as you said, that's my pride and joy. That was a 10-year story arc kind of thing that I work on. Started as a dream, and now it's kind of reality, which is really cool.
I was gonna say, is that out yet? Is Wasteland? It's available, right?
Wasteland is available now. Yeah, I have it on TikTok. I have it in one shop right now too. A local shop up in Rockford, Illinois, which is really cool. And I have a few interested parties in different states, which is even better. So I'll be sending that out this week. And it's crazy, really. I feel like even now, it's not a household name or anything like that, but it feels like it's something bigger than it already is. So it's pretty cool.
You've been working on it for 15 years, you said.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, this story is 10 years old.
10 Brian. Years, okay.
Yeah. It's funny. I look at it now, and it's completely evolved from where it was originally. It was a dream I had in 2015 about, I was Barry Allen, of all things, right? And I'm just like, I'm speeding through the city because this villain has Nora, who is my daughter. And it's, if it's all clicking to you, this is because at the time, The Flash was very big at the time, one of my favorite shows. And I just remember waking up, I'm like, that'd be such a cool story. I'm like, well, you know, there's so many Flash stories out there. Why don't I write my own story? You know, and that's when Wasteland officially kind of like birthed itself. And I took a lot from my real life to put inside there, and I like the surrounding life too. So I know you picked up the book. I don't know if there's some cues in there. There's a lot of play into like stereotypical racism, you know, where it's like, hey, mm-hmm. I don't like the way you look. Screw you, you know? So it kind of plays into that. There's a lot of destruction that happened in real life there too. So I'm born and raised in New Jersey. Right on the Jersey Shore, which is now infamous for the Hurricane Sandy tragedy that happened. Yep. So inside the book, the first few pages, it shows like, hey, these are real pictures of like a sunken roller coaster, a burned down boardwalk, all that stuff. And I really wanted to, you know, pay tribute to my hometown.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you wrote the story 10 years ago, and you said now 5 years ago you let it come to light.
Yeah, that's when I wrote it about 5 years ago, and then, or 10 years ago, 5 years ago was when I was like, I need to do something with this. So I can't draw for the life of me.
Me too.
it sucks, right? It's such a crippling aspect.
I'm gonna learn. It's a goal. I don't know when, but
I'm working on it too. Actually, okay. One of my tiers on my Kickstarter was like, it's called Become a Villain or Become a Hero, right? And okay. I had a few friends of mine who backed that project. And then part of it is like, I will create a villain for you. So I have this one buddy, he's been hitting me up for months. He's like, where's my book? I want to see my villain. I'm like, I can't find the money to actually like put out to get the villain created from a professional artist. So I had to do it myself. And here, actually, let me find it real quick. I'll show you.
Please.
So his last name is Cook. He wanted to be a Twisted Rabbit villain out of all things. So I actually ended up making this.
Wow.
It's so amateur, but I was like, you know what? I think he'll like it. He'll appreciate it. That's my extent of my drawing abilities or portraits.
What's worrying me, so I'm getting blank covers of my comic, right? You know, the blanks and just the title. And I'm scared somebody's going to ask me to like remark one. And I'm like, you want a smiley face? So I need
Great sense figure.
Right. My daughter, though, my little one, she wants to do an alternate cover. So I've done a cover, but I did it graphic design. I'm okay at graphic design. But she's doing a cover. She's drawing it like in Photoshop or whatever. And, you know, I told you we were in the car a lot this week. She took a lot of time in the car and she started drawing. I'm like, oh man, that's actually pretty decent, you know, for a first drawing ever. And I was like, now I really have to get on the ball and do it. I can't let her outdo me on the covers. That'll be interesting. But I'm going to learn. We're going to learn. It'll be great.
We are beyond excited to share the Chronicles of Panel Pete, a brand new comic coming in early 2026. Written by Talking Comics podcast host AJ Ryman and co-written and illustrated by Mike L. Jure, Torque Arts Comics. Panel P is a heartfelt comic about courage, imagination, and the hero within. Sure, he may stir up a little mischief, but at the end of the day, he's the hero we all need. Expect variant covers, exclusive merch, and much more. Follow the links in our bio, hit that Notify Me on launch on Kickstarter, and join us on this adventure.
It's one of those things where I've always tried, and actually, we're talking about your daughter. My daughter and I, during COVID, again, 5 years ago, she came to see my oldest. She's 15 now. She came to me. She goes, I want to write a comic book. I'm like, okay, I love that. Let's do it. So we wrote a book together, and that one's in the works still. Awesome. I'm still trying to finish. You know, the hardest thing is finishing your story, right? That's the worst. So. There's so much I want to do with it, but I started working on some pages, and I'm like, I drew out the entire first page, and it looked really cool for me, but it's a crap artistry. So I'm like, I'm talking to another person. I'm like, hey, this is my idea. If you can help me out with it, and she actually, her name's Anna. I met her on there's a comic book community that I'm part of on Discord, and I posted like, hey, looking for an artist, and she hit me up, so we're working together on that, which is really cool. So that story's called Planet Unknown, still work in progress, but
one of the ones that's advertised in here.
All
right.
So actually, the one of the other ones in there, there was a, it might be the last page.
Yeah, we got Wasteland Infamous 15. Oh, is that Heart Eaters?
Heart Eaters, that one is complete now.
Awesome.
So my artist, his name is Adam Fix. He's actually on TikTok as well.
Sweet.
He just sent me the last page the other day with a cover, and it's just, the cover that's in there is not going to be the cover, but that was a good promo art for it.
So heck yeah. Exciting. So how exciting is it to get pages back, artwork pages back, of something you wrote? Is that not the coolest feeling ever?
Yeah, it's so hard to describe.
Right?
You have a vision for it, and you're writing this out, and you're like, okay, this is how I want it, and then you give it to your artist, and you're like, this is my idea. This is what I would like to see, but I don't want you to feel like stuck in this area.
Right.
Amazing artist, do what you think is interpretive.
100%.
Like 9 times out of 10, they come back with something that's like, a perfect blend of their idea and my idea. And it's like, you know what? This is why we're 50-50 on this. This is amazing.
It's awesome. I love, getting, when he sends me pages back, I'm like, okay, this is amazing. Something that I wrote, and like, he sent me page 13 back the other day, 13 or 14. We're just over halfway. So it's super exciting. We're hoping to have it out by like February sometime.
Are you going to be doing a Kickstarter for it?
Yes, I will, but I'm not going to do a Kickstarter until I have a complete product. Because I'm doing it regardless, right? This is the cover, this is just a print of cover A that Mike L. Jure did. He's my artist. He's from Dork Art Studios. I don't know if you know him. He's on Instagram.
I think so, yeah.
follow him. He's awesome. He's got, a bunch of his own work too. But he was nice enough to do some like fan art one day. And then I was like, hey, you want to do an alternate cover? So he sent me a cover. And then I was like, you want to just do the whole book? So he's doing the whole book. I'm paying him to do the whole book. So it worked out that way. Because I was really worried about finding an artist. Like, it's not easy. Like, when you go into that. Man,
I actually, Heart Eaters, I got screwed over on that.
I've heard those. So, yeah, give that horror story for people.
Oh, my God, man. That was, you know, and it's my own mistake, really. Because it's, you know, I'm on several forums, Facebook groups, Discord, all that stuff. And, you know, I've been really searching for the right artist for everything, you know, for all my different stories I have. And I posted something and I got a response back in my DMs. And this guy named, I think his name was Alex, if I remember correct, if that's even his name.
Right.
Right. So he contacts me. He's like, hey, you know, I'm a new artist. I'm really trying to I want to help someone create a story, but I'm not looking to really charge what a professional artist would charge. So this is what I'm offering you. And it was like $500. And I'm like, yeah, seems too good to be true. We all take the chance, you know, because that's a pretty good deal. So I sent him the work and I sent him a $250 deposit. Cause that's, you know, I don't know how you work on yours. Sounds like you do page by page.
I give him a payment each month. So,
okay.
You know, yeah. I broke it up into like four payments. So
that's kind of what I'm doing with Adam right now. Hardy.
He's ahead of me, which is, I feel bad for, cause you know, I'm sticking to the payments. Right. But he's a few pages ahead of the payments. So,
yeah. I mean, Adam finished the book and I'm like, I haven't finished paying you yet, man, but I'll get you all your payment in December. I promise, you know?
Right.
But back to the beginning of how this all kind of originated and why I got in touch with Adam. This guy, you know, he started sending me pages and I'm noticing like it's what I'm asking for, but it's also off, you know? So I'm sending critiques like, hey, this is supposed to be this way. This is supposed to be this way. And I'm really starting to get like nitpicky with it. And the next, you know, no communication. The guy's Facebook gets deactivated, and then I'm getting responses from their studio page. And I'm like, this is weird. You have my money now, and it's only $250, but it's still a lot of money for an indie writer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just back, like, trying. And finally, I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm cutting off all communications. I took him off of my script doc, so he can't steal any more information if he did steal anything. Right. And that was really, that was a hard moment because I had just printed Wasteland with the advertisement for Heart Eaters inside of it.
Right.
So that was rough. But at that same time that I was going through that, I was working with Adam already on a indie, like 8-page anthology story, about robot penguins fighting soldier penguins. It's called Battle for McDonald Island. It's fantastic. So the whole premise of the anthology was that people were creating penguin stories as a crowdfund for climate change. So all proceeds went towards climate change, and it had something to do with McDonald Island only because of what Trump enacted recently with the tariffs on an island solely inhabited by penguins. It was this little like really crazy idea. So, I had posted on TikTok, like, hey, I'm looking for an artist. And Adam reached out to me and I sent him the stories like, this is fucking amazing. Excuse my language. So he bought into it real quick. It's so cute. And it was such a great story. So I hit him up like, hey, this just happened to me. Would you be interested in taking over the story? And he was very understanding and he gave me an amazing rate too.
Awesome.
So he's like, yeah, absolutely. So he hopped on and I mean, within weeks, it was completed.
That's
so
amazing.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's knock on wood. Mike's been amazing. I know he will be. It was really cool. Last weekend, we went to a convention locally, the NC Comic Con, and we ran into the Homebrew guys, which I knew they were going to be there. You know, the Homebrew guys, yeah. Homebrew Comics.
Yeah.
My first ever interview on this channel was with Chris Saloff from Crit. And
wow.
So I was like, it was really cool to meet him and then all the other guys, you know, hanging out with them. And I was able to buy their books and get them autographed. But I'm like, somehow Mike came up and I was like, yeah, Mike's doing my book. You know, he's doing the artwork. He's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, so they were huge Mike fans. And so it's awesome to see that they're, his name's getting out there too. Cause I want that for him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's great for him. And then, like, you know, having your story to just within his portfolio to be working on, well, your name gets spread around as well.
Exactly.
Kind of just, it's a two-handed thing there.
So I'm hoping, you know, I can help him out. You know, it'll help me out a little bit. Cause like, I didn't really, my goal with this book has changed. It's very weird because I just did it to do it, to like learn, to do the process. It's almost how this it's exactly how this podcast started. Is I started a podcast in my day job and was told to start a podcast, right? And learn it and figure it out. But there's so many layers of corporate approval. I couldn't do anything to test and learn.
Yeah.
And so my little kid had to come in and she's like, I want to be on your podcast. I'm like, yeah, it's never going to happen. You know, this is corporate, you know, BS. And I was like, she's like, well, I want to be on something. So I was like, well, let's start our own. And we got into comics recently as she did. You know, I'd always been in them, but she got into them a few months before that. And I was like, let's just do a comic one. And then that's what we did. I just did it to learn. And then it just like, okay, this is fun. Oh, you want me to interview people? Okay, let me try that. Oh, that was fun. Let me keep doing that. And it's, you know, we're done. Our first upload was March 30th of this year. And, you know, we are, I just released episode 62 this morning.
Crazy, right?
Right? You know, doing two or three a week, they add up quick.
Yeah, they add up real quick.
But being able to do the book, I wanted to do it to learn the process. And just to learn. And then now I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll submit it to a publisher. Maybe we'll do, I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
And that was my idea too. I was like, you know, I can write this, I can put it out and I'll submit it. And then, you know, it's that, again, that fear of rejection, fear of no one liking my story, which you have to come get over. It's just like, maybe I'll just do it myself. Right. And I have the platform already with Heroes Get Remembered. And I've always wanted that, like, you know, as I'm in my 30s, but in for many years, I've always tried to create something bigger than what I am. And Heroes Get Remembered was that perfect opportunity. I kind of saw that as like a, hey, what if we can, you know, I still want to do podcasting in the future, but I, you know, I want to make videos. I want to shoot film and whatever I can do. And I want to print books. Heroes Get Remembered kind of transformed from being this podcast idea into what it is now, where it's Heroes Get Remembered Comics. Infamous 15 was actually written by myself and then two other members of Heroes Get Remembered. So it's like a collab. It's slowly building into something a little bit more.
Yeah, I love that. To keep, you know, so what, how did that start? How did the podcast start? Like, where did you come up with all that?
Man.
Was it after you started the writing and then you decided to release Wasteland? You're like, I gotta do a podcast about this.
Actually, the podcast came first.
Okay.
Again, it was that time where we were all stuck inside, not much going on. Everyone was making podcasts at that time, too. I was, my buddy Josh, who was on the mug with me, he actually used to work in radio. And I hit him up one day. I'm like, hey, any chance of me and you can just like schedule a, it's like a morning radio show. Like, just like, I'll call in. We do a little something funny and stuff. He's like, I would love to, but I don't think my producers will let me. He's like, how about we do a podcast? I'm like, let's do it.
Perfect.
I'm the game, you know? And the first episode, I don't know if it's still out there. I may have deleted it off of our Spotify stuff, but it was done on my phone with like the, like, it was like an app where I can record our telephone call. And it was horrible. It was such bad quality, but we had so much fun. So we did that for at least three or four episodes. And then we both invested in podcasting gear. So microphones, laptops, whatever. And it really took off. We had a number of guests on our show, which was a lot of fun. I mean, you know how it is, just scheduling people. It can be a little daunting at times, even asking, we're like, hey, do you want to be on my show? But we had quite a few musicians and then a few different bands and stuff. And actually at one point I talked to my cousin, who he's like my younger brother. I was like, hey, let's I want to have you on the show one day, let's have some fun. He ended up joining the show.
Sweet.
So it kind of like blew up into a bigger thing. And yeah, it was really great. So as I'm doing that was when I was like, let's get the comic book going too. I have a podcast. I could promote the comic book through the podcast if I want to. And we kind of like started to mold a kind of like a real like entity of Heroes Get Remembered at that point. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. So go back to what you said. I don't think we ever got finished that part of when you 5 years ago, you decided to turn it into something. Who's the first person you let read it?
Man, I don't know. I think Brandon, my cousin Brandon, who's a co-host of mine, I sent it to him. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And he actually, like, he definitely helped me edit it from here to there. It's like, hey, fix this, do this. He's like, but it's a great story. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm very conscious of my stories. Like, you know, I've been married for 8 years now, and my wife just read Wasteland when it was printed. And it's silly to think, but like, you know, like I was just like, I don't want you to read that and not like it. Or it was, right. It was just a thing, you know? So,
yeah, I did the same when I wrote my script. I gave it to my wife and kid, and I just ran in the other room and hid.
Yeah. And, you know, like my wife loves to read. She has a full bookshelf of stories, and she's really into the horror scene and stuff. And I also didn't want to confuse her with a script, you know, a script in comparison to a novel. It's so different. It's hard to read, hard to understand. So I was like, I don't think she'd be interested in it. And I knew my cousin who, you know, him and I have been writing stories for so long now. I was like, hey, you'll understand what I'm saying here. Can you read this and tell me what you think? So he was great. I mean, Brandon, like I said, him and I, we've been writing stories actually. Geez, I want to say that might be going further back than 15 years, might be 20 something years now. We had a couple of characters that we ended up writing into the tune of Cain and Abel, which was a fun story. I mean, there's so many different storylines about Cain and Abel, but they were superheroes. So Cain was the fire type. Abel was the water type. So it had like this last airbender meets biblical story arc to it. It was a lot of fun. Never went anywhere with it. And now the story is lost. We have no idea where it went. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens over the years. I don't know what happened to some of my stuff years ago, but it'll pop up one day. So how did you find... Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, back to like, you know, the reading and stuff. I was on a forum, or a group, I should say, on Facebook, and I saw my artist Hudson actually posted like, hey, this is who I am. I'm looking for some work. And it was at that moment where I'm like, if I don't let someone who I don't know read the story, I'll never go anywhere. So I hit him up. I'm like, hey, Hudson, I really like your work. Can I send you a story? And then you kind of tell me what you think. And right away, he was like, I love the story. And for him to say that he actually is, you know, English isn't his first language. He's from Brazil. So for him to be able to translate what was happening in the book to his native language and understand it was a great feeling.
And it's so awesome. Like Mike, with, you know, the artist is doing mine, it's like to find somebody as passionate about the project that you are, mm-hmm. we are, right, is that's priceless, you know.
Oh, 100%. There's someone else on TikTok that he's actually from Chicago. I don't know if you have John Avina.
I'm gonna have him on soon. I don't know exactly when, but yeah, he signed up. I know that. I don't know the date.
I love it. Yeah, he's a great guy. I met him a couple times. Sweet. We communicate back and forth, and you know, seeing him too, a Chicagoland native, I'm like, dude, you know, that'd be really cool to be a part of his community as well.
Right.
So while I was already in the process, like the Kickstarter was being generated and stuff, and that's when I met him. I'm like, this is just great timing. So that was kind of another person that really influenced me to put myself out there and do a little more.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting him, interviewing him, and hopefully I'll be up that way at some point and can meet all of you guys. It'd be amazing. That was the funnest part about that convention last weekend, was getting to finally meet people in person. Hell yeah. You know, instead of just over the, you know, podcast. It was really cool. So I really got to get that live podcast thing going.
Dude, C2E2 is coming up. It's March 26th, I think. maybe. I might be wrong on those dates, but it's definitely the end of March.
You're the second person I think that's told me about this, so I need to look at it. C2E2.
Yeah, if you're looking to meet comic book creators, especially like local Chicago ones, C2E2 is the best place to do it.
And that's the end of March?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as for conventions, that might be the third largest in the the country.
Yeah.
I think it's tied with maybe MegaCon in Orlando might be tied with it, but yeah, it's pretty big.
All right, I need to look at getting a booth.
I myself am considering it. There's a whole application process you have to go through, and you know, it's whether or not they want to go forward. Actually, I was creating my website just so I can actually have something for them to look at.
Right. So. Yeah, I'm working on that too. I'm working on getting the booth built because we're doing the first one at the moment is the end of April. And then we're going to be in Traverse City, Michigan on Memorial Day. And then we're going to go the one in April's locally here in Greenville, North Carolina. Traverse City, we're going to try to get into Terrificon in Connecticut because Mike does that show every year, so I want to do one with him. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to start, you know, try to do one a month. I'm going to go out to Texas because I got some friends out there. I got family in Oklahoma, so I might do a lot of traveling.
You got connections, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know, but I got to get, you know, the podcast booth built and, you know, have the book to sell and prints and stuff like that.
That's the big thing. Yeah. Yeah. I have many friends and family that are like, when are you going to start doing conventions? And I'm like, I have one book, you know, like I have multiple covers of that book, which is cool. Like, I personally would feel better if I had maybe three or four on my table. Just so I can have some variety and like, hey, here's a great children's story. You know, I have kids walk up. This is Planet Unknown. Your kids would really like this. And then here's, you know, Heart Eaters for the horror the horror fan and that sort of thing. So I'm really trying
to totally get that idea. Yeah. It's for me, I was going to start doing conventions with just the podcast. So just advertising the podcast, but you know, you have to, you know, I had to switch my head, you know, in my head that it's okay that I don't have anything to sell. You know, I'm spending this as marketing money, right? This isn't to make a profit, right? It's to just market the podcast, gain subscribers is the, you know, revenue, right?
Absolutely.
From that. So when I decided to do the comic, it made me feel a lot better. At least I'll have something there. And then I could do prints and stuff like that of the covers. And I do have a second comic in mind or third. These are going to be like a series of one shots, but it'll be another year probably before I get the second one out. Got to get this one done.
That's the tough thing, you know, it's like, especially someone like me, I really don't stop creating, you know,
right.
I have about an hour long drive to work every single day. And, so in that time frame, I'm usually listening to audiobooks or music, but a lot of times I'm sitting there writing notes, like voice to text notes on new stories and stuff. And it's like I sometimes get a little ahead of myself because now I have a folder that has at least like 25 stories in my Google Docs, and it's like I got to finish writing that one, but I also have to finish this series that I'm already currently working on, you know. And it's like I feel for the professionals out there that do this on a daily basis that are just like writing 10 comics a day. It's like, dude,
right. Oh, it ain't 10 a day. Stephanie Phillips only writing one a week. She said so.
One a week. Okay. Yeah.
You know, but she writes one script a week.
Crazy.
It's still a lot, you know,
it's a lot. Yeah. You know? And that's a completed issue every single week. And that's a lot. Yeah,
it is. And yeah, that's crazy, which I mean, I guess it took me just over a week to do mine. I wrote it on an airplane ride. I had a 6-hour plane ride one way and a 5-hour plane ride the other. So I wrote most of it, 90% of it on that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I get distracted real easily. So I feel like every time I sit down to write something, I get on a roll and then I'm like, oh, wait, I have to do this. And I get off and I walk over to do something else. And then I don't pick that script up for another like 2 weeks, you know?
That was my point. Like if I was sitting here in my office and trying to do it or, you know, I would have never, I got the only thing I could get done here, and it took me like 3 days, was the outline. you know, I did a, you know, 1 through 20 and just put the overarching theme of each page on it. And that took me 3 days. But then I was like, all right, I put it aside. I was like, I have this plane, you know, this trip coming up. I can't do anything else on the plane. So might as well dedicate my time, you know, to write the script. So, and that it worked for me. It was a lot of fun. And then
Heart Eaters, I think, is the only one that I wrote within a single day.
Wow.
But that's because that was last year. That was while I was, after I got the Kickstarter, I got Kickstarter started. Everything was published, ready to go. And I'm watching the backers come through and I'm like, oh, this is going to be really good. And I'm like, I need to work on the story. So I actually ended up putting on Saving Silverman of all things. And that inspired me to write Heart Eater. So it's a very like
awesome.
Boy, girl breaks up band has to get back together. It's a similar story to that, but there's a, you know, a different element, a supernatural element
to it. So. Was that the Kickstarter for Wasteland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go into that. Like, what was it like? How did that go? What did you do?
Oh, man. That was...
Give everybody the tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks, yeah. Wasteland was funny because I was like, hey, I'm going to start this in June. And I go to the Kickstarter page and I look at it. I'm like, we'll start this in the end of July. And then July comes. I'm like, all right, September 1st, we're starting this. This is what it's going to be, you know? But I kept going through and I make different tweaks. I'd go to other people's Kickstarter campaigns and I try to pull some ideas from there to really influence my story. And it was definitely terrifying because it's like, who's going to back this? And a lot of people I got back were friends and family, which is right. The normal for Kickstarters, you know? Right. But it was nice to see, like, I had a number of people from TikTok. And even from I think I had a few people from Twitter follow my link over to the page and actually back, which was really nice to see. I was going on YouTube every day watching like, how should I do certain things? How should I word certain things? You know, so I actually ended up breaking out really simple. I had at the very top of the page, just under the header, I actually made a video talking about Wasteland, probably sitting right in front of this
same background
set up right here, you know? It was crazy, crazy, man. I mean, I spent hours editing that video, just editing, like putting like different panels here, you know, talking about the artists here, trying to like generate some sort of like professionalism in it.
Mm-hmm.
Posted it. I was really excited. I went back and watched it. I think, like 2 months later, I'm like, God, that was such a terrible video. How did I get backed?
Yeah, I do the same.
Yeah, you know, but as creators, we're our own worst critic. You know, we're always going to be looking at things going back.
Well, that's like better. I said, you mentioned seeing that Daredevil video I did this morning. I was like, it took me forever. And I don't know. I didn't think it was that great, but I think I'd post it, whatever.
It's, you know, we just have to kind of like bite the bullet and just put ourselves out there for, you know, for our own sense of vulnerability. So that's like my next Kickstarter I'm going to be doing. I think I'm doing it at the end of February. It's going to be for Heart Eaters. And I'm actually going, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be shooting a music video for it. So,
ooh, heck yeah.
Yeah. So I have a venue set aside already. My buddy has a production company and, Wax actually the company that that short film with recently.
Yeah.
So we're like, it's gonna be fun. Yeah, I figure all I need is like maybe 30 seconds to 45 seconds of actual like band playing footage,
right?
And then it's gonna go into like the whole story of what Heart Eaters is. So it's gonna be pretty cool, pretty excited.
Yeah, I definitely. So I have the pre-launch page built for my Kickstarter.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna go in and change everything because I don't, you know,
but it's tough, man. You get to I do. Yeah, the pre-launch was like, yeah. I looked at that. I looked at all my different, because there's what, like 10 different panels you have to go through each individual one, edit each. And it's like, I probably went through every single day, went through each panel and redid it until I really felt like it was okay to go. So,
oh, and I have a lot more artwork. So when I first built it, I only had like one or two pages of the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have, you know, 13 pages. I can do a little bit more, you know, share a little bit more. And then like the process, and like I said, do a video. I'll have to, you know, figure that out. I don't know. We'll see. It's hard, but I'm probably going to you know, go around February, March sometime.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have the book in my hand first. I have a printer already. He's in Traverse City, Michigan. A buddy of mine owns a print shop up there.
Comics?
No, it's Allegra Printing, Traverse City. Okay. I know there's like Wellspring Comics or somebody's up there in Michigan too. Yeah, Comics
Wellspring, I think, is in Traverse City as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
I know they're in Michigan, but I don't know if they're in Traverse City. But my buddy owns a, you know, Allegra Printing service, you know.
Nice.
He's going to print it for me. But I'm going to fly up there. Than
$4 an issue.
Yes. Yes.
like when I'm selling Wasteland right now, I'm selling at $8 a book. I'm like, it costs $4 to make. I'm trying to at least make something better with it. If I have to sell it at $6, I'll sell it at $6. It's fine.
I'm debating that myself. Currently, I'm thinking $7 because I'm still I'm just under $3, but you know, there's other costs involved too.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I'm debating. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. The last few days, I've been thinking maybe I'll go $8. Maybe $8. Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like that's the going price for indie books nowadays.
I don't want to do double digits. That's the one thing I don't want to get into. 10, 15, 12, whatever. No.
Yeah. If it comes to a particular variant cover, then that's something that I consider. But like the main cover story, $8, honestly, I feel like that's logical for all indie right now.
I agree. And then like if I have to sell it for $5 or $6, I'm okay with that. Like, if I'll give you $5 if you subscribe to my channel, you know, kind of thing, you know,
exactly.
I'll do stuff like that in prints and stuff. He's going to do all my prints, but what he's going to let me do too, is he's going to let me go there to the shop when I get it done and record it coming off the machine. The first one coming off the machine. So that'll be a cool experience.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But that's cool. So how much did you ask for in your first one?
I asked for 3,000.
Okay.
And we backed, I think it was like 3,600 we got.
Awesome.
And it was within the first week.
Sweet.
Which is really cool. And I kicked myself in my own butt for that one too. I mean, I love the fact that we backed it within the first week, but then I stopped.
I stopped promoting.
All promotion. You know, I got the money I needed and I stopped. I probably could have got a lot more.
A little bit more.
If I put a little more into it. And that's another thing. Like, you know, when you're selling your book, like you're selling your book in that moment, you know.
Right.
Don't stop. Keep pushing. Try to get those extra tiers. If I look at it, I'm like, I could have probably got another 3,000 if I just pushed a little harder for it.
Heck yeah.
And that would have fully backed issue two.
Right.
You know? So
yeah, I'm doing a really small goal, like $500, just because I'm doing it regardless. And this is going to be like $500 if you want, you know, if you want it, you know, here it is, just as a way for them to order it. I think that's what I'm doing. I'm going to need to build some more tiers, probably different covers. We're working on different covers.
I would say biggest thing is like stickers are great. Mm-hmm. Everyone always wants stickers. Stay away from t-shirts. I made a mistake and I did a t-shirt tier, and that alone cost me like, I think $600 just to print the shirts. And I'm like, I'll never get that again. That's a lot of our funding money, you know?
Yep.
I'm a merch guy. I'm wearing, I don't know if you read, Red Rising at all, you know, so I'm wearing my Red Rising shirt right now. And, like I want to be able to wear my merchandise out there. But right now it's not the time for that. Right now it's just about the books. I've got to focus on that.
So. Well, I've got t-shirts, hats, hoodies. I got it all on there because I use Printify to print all that. So I don't have to.
Oh, you don't have to. You know, you don't have to buy bulk then, right?
I just buy, you know, whatever I need. So if I need, if 10 people back it, I order 10 shirts and, you know, send them to them at a discounted rate. I used to do all the printing and all that stuff myself in my my previous years. I did a lot of merch stuff and screen printing and transfers and t-shirts, hats, all. Yeah. I'm like, it's not worth it to me anymore. It might cost me $2 or $3 more a shirt now through Printify.
Yeah.
But that $3 is well worth the time. I don't have to mess with it.
That's fair. Yeah. So, I'm in that same boat where I'm like, do I own printing now? You know, my mom has a whole like heat press for transfers and stuff, and I'm like, I could get that, and I can maybe
yeah,
you know, start doing my own shirts and stuff. But at, like you said, it's time, you know,
it is, and it's a lot of time. And yeah. I have the whole setup because I used to do it in my past, you know, life. I did. I owned a hobby shop, game store.
Okay.
And I sold it in 2016, and then I turned it into a miniature gaming accessory company. And I made a lot of things out of like mouse pad material. I made 2D terrain for tabletop gaming, objective markers, and then I made. But then I did shirts and, you know, trays and. You name it, we did it. And then I would buy the transfers, you know, just a stack of pieces of paper, the screen print transfers, which is a good way to do it because instead of having 10 of each shirt, you know, I have, you know, 10 of each size and then a transfer yeah. and you pick what you want, right? So it helped with inventory. But it's like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm old.
That's fair, man.
It's going to be bad enough. I mean,
you got to maximize your time.
Right. And I love doing conventions and stuff. And I want to be able to, you know, talk to people instead of sitting behind the booth, you know, printing shirts. So, yeah. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited to see my daughter at a convention like that we have a booth at. She was a little taken back by, we actually got recognized by a few people at the last one locally.
Okay.
And she was like, I don't like this. Like, yeah, we got to get used to that. So I got to watch that a little bit.
Man. Yeah. It's especially, having a little one involved with it too.
Yeah. I got to protect that as much as I can, you know,
as much as you can, man.
When we do have a booth, I'm going to have it to where she'll be there. She can be there as much as she wants, but I'm going to have only like a dedicated, like 1 hour time. She has to be there. The rest she can do whatever she wants. So
that's smart. My oldest years ago, you know, we were going to do something similar before Heroes Get Remembered started. It was actually dads and daughters at conventions.
Heck is
what
yeah.
it was called. And we were making like tips and tricks for family members who want to go to conventions, you know, like this is what you need to do. This is what you don't do, you know, bring snacks, whatever.
Right.
So we had a few videos that we made and we just never did anything with it. I think there might be a TikTok page out there with one video up with it.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah, I know it's that somewhere it maybe got deactivated. I don't know. It was just it was such a cool thing, and that's kind of like when she really decided I want to do comic books too. And it was really a good moment. I think it was that might have been 2019, so that was right before COVID hit. I think that's why we stopped. Yeah,
yeah, that's when I had my gaming company, and COVID killed me. I was literally in the car on the way to the biggest convention I was ever going to go to in Chicago. I got everything loaded up. I was an hour and a half down the road when I got the email that the convention was shut down.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, oh. And turned around and went back home. And then, you know, I just lost all motivation. And then I was working like 3 jobs at the time. And I was like, I can't keep this up.
Yeah.
But then like the last 2 years, it's like, man, I really got to get something going like myself again. And of course. This podcast has really helped me with that, you know, doing my own thing, growing something, producing something.
Yeah.
Talking to amazing people, learning, you know, a whole new life, a whole new job, whole new, you know, market of stuff out there has been amazing. And
yeah,
I'm really excited for the future of this. So we'll see what happens.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, again, you're putting yourself out there. You're making something out of what normally wouldn't be a great situation. So, you know, and doing it with your daughter alongside of you too is great.
That's the fun part, right? I would have never been I was never the guy that liked to be on camera in front of a microphone. That was just not me a year ago. I was like, no. But then we started doing it, like you were saying earlier, you know, some of your first episodes, like on a phone, recording a phone call. I love going back and watching like episode 1 where it's just Annika and I at a fold out table in the, you know, in this room, you know, nothing in the background, bare walls. Yeah, and, one microphone between us, and it was cool.
Funny. We made a theme song too for Heroes Get Remembered, and that was just something I recorded on my phone. I had my buddy record a guitar track for me. I did simple drum tracks on GarageBand. It was like I go back and I listen to it, and it's still one of my favorite theme songs ever. And it was just like, it was always was, this is our title song, it isn't very long. And that was it. And I said, you're listening to Heroes Get Remembered podcast. And that was so short and sweet.
We do similar stuff, and it's fantastic. Yeah. We do a like question time, and like we'll just do stupid trivia, fun, just questions.
Yeah.
It's become its own thing on the podcast now. But she just sat there one day in the corner and just started singing It's Question Time, this little theme song, and I happened to catch it recorded. So I turned it into a whole theme. So every episode her and I do at the beginning of Question Time, I insert that video clip.
I love it. That's so great. We, towards the end there, we were doing different segments. So we would break off at one point, and we would do readings from a comic book, and we would open up a book just to a random page and read it no matter what it was. So our first one that I opened up, it was a Teen Titans story, and Alfred just goes, and he was a boy, and that was like the only thing on the page. So that's what I left that, and like I read him like, and Alfred says he was a boy. And then it was just silence. And both I hear Brandon and Josh just snickering, like, what the fuck are you reading now? That's all it is. Oh, man.
I've done a couple of those where I try to read a comic book like as an episode. And I don't know. I haven't been in good yet. I've done two or three of them. I have to keep working on it.
Those little things, though, it's just so much fun. It's just like a spark out of nowhere, like just creates a random thing that becomes something. It
becomes a whole segment, right? Wow. You mentioned seasons on your podcast. Mm-hmm. How did you guys determine what a season was? Because that's something I haven't figured out what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah, we would do, so we recorded once a week. I think it was like a Friday night, and then we would drop it on a Sunday. So we did that every week. So we had, I think, about like 20 or 30 episodes. And then we were like, you know what? Let's take a few months off, and then we'll start season two. And we would do after like, 30 episodes, pop into a new season. Well, season one was only audio. And then season two, we decided to go into video work.
Yep.
So that was like, we actually kind of jumped into that. To which I think we only did about like 10 to 12 episodes for season two. We all got pretty busy here and there. And then season three came and went pretty quickly. I think we only did like 6 for season three.
Gotcha.
But it was hard. I mean, as well as I do, like the editing process, it can take a long time, and I was doing everything. So they would just come in, record, and then it was on me to do everything else. Right. Like, guys, I'm tired of doing this, man. You know, I love doing it, but I need an editor, you know?
It is definitely, I listen to Gary Vee a lot. Do you know who Gary Vee is? And
yeah,
I love his stuff, his content, and he's very motivational. And when I listen to him, it don't let me give up. So,
that's fair.
It's really like, I have no plans of giving up, like not even like cross my mind. I do want to slow down just a touch, because 3 episodes a week is a lot. I want to go back to 2, probably January. We're going to go to 2 with the occasional 3rd. Like if I get somebody, hey, I really need this out. Like my Kickstarter is launching today. Can you please, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll throw you in, And that's kind of how it happened with the last couple months. I've been doing 3 a week, so so many people have reached out to me, and then I do like that link now, which I love, but I have it set to after January. It's only 1 a week. So if one gets booked that week, it cuts the rest of them off.
You have to take care of yourself, That's the biggest thing. If you're overworking yourself, gets overwhelmed, then it doesn't get fun anymore.
Right.
That's good.
But even my daughter, she's like, I'm sitting here like, oh, I've got to do this today, because I spend all day Sunday usually doing my reels for the week. I still have a scheduler, so that helps out a lot. So I schedule all my posts for the week, so I don't, set it on Sunday and forget about it the rest of the week. I might throw another video out just for fun. But I was talking to her. She's like, "Oh, we can do this." I'm like, "Oh, I gotta, you know, do this." She's like, "Well, just don't quit." I'm like, "Well, where the hell did that come from?" But I have no plans to quit. But I like that you think that you don't want to quit either. So that's good.
Yeah.
At 10 years old, so you know that's going to be an interesting one. Is like the transition of to a teenager and how she keeps involving with it and how that's going to work. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean that was my daughter. She's turning 15 next week, or this week.
Sweet.
Today's Sunday, this Friday, yeah. And that was, you know, we're still, I coach her softball team and stuff.
Okay.
And like, we're involved with each other, but like her, I don't know, her interest in the comic book industry slowly started to diminish, you know? Like
right.
She turned 11, 12, and I was like, I'm not really interested in the comic books as much anymore, you know, and to the point where like we didn't go to C2E2 this year and it wasn't a question to her, you know.
Wow.
It hurts, but at the same time she's her own person. She's got
to
grow.
They have to get their thing,
you know. Yeah, I can't force my
my
comic book agenda on her. So
well, this has been her idea mostly, so I've been
awesome
and I've kind of reined her a little bit and I'm slowly letting her do a little bit more and more. She started creating reels last weekend, which was really cool. I logged her in and said, "Here, have fun, try it."
Yeah.
And so three of the reels that I released this week, she made, which was awesome.
Nice.
Hopefully we can keep it up and, you know, we'll see how she does going at conventions and stuff. Cause I'm going to look at C2E2 now and make sure I go.
C2E2, it's going to be great this year. I feel like last year I wanted to go. It just, there was so much going on with work that I didn't actually get a chance to be there. But this year I am like, I'm fully committed on actually having a table. So I'm going to do my best to be there, either in Artist Alley or in Writer's Block. I want to be there. I want to be a professional, you know, that's the biggest thing. And as selfish as it sounds and stuff, but it's like, I have to start thinking of myself as a professional in that sense, and I need to just put myself out.
100%. Like, that's come up a lot on this podcast. You know, I talk to people, and you know, they'll be like, "Oh, you know, because you're a writer." And I'm like, "I mean, freaking writer. Like, I wrote one comic." And they're like, "No, you're a writer." Yeah. I'm like, "I mean, you're a creator." And I'm like, "Okay, that's weird." You know, but we have to put ourselves out there. And is every video going to get 1,000 views or 10,000? Nope. You know, maybe one, but you know, who cares? I don't care.
Who cares, right? As long as you're doing what you love, that's the most important thing. I had the first time ever, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a shop in Orlando, the shop I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. The owner, he was doing a live, and I was buying a couple of comics from it. He's like, "Oh, Don Prince." He's like, "You know, I remember Don when he was this fratty college student. He would hang out in the shop all day and I loved having him around." He's like, "And now he's an industry professional." I'm like, "What?" Can you say that again?
Right. Can you repeat that? Let me hit record real quick.
Yeah. Like that's wow. Like that's the first time someone called me an industry professional. And it was really, I mean, it was so wholesome coming from him of all people. Cause like you said, I did hang out with him a lot.
Right.
And, you know, I was one free comic book day. I was dressed up as Deadpool on the side of the road, spinning a sign, you know, just to be there for the shops. It was really cool. It was really humbling.
It's awesome. Well, where can people get Wasteland? I have fun questions, but
yeah.
I'm going to go over this real quick.
Wasteland is currently on my TikTok shop.
Okay.
TikTok. I'm building a website. So that'll be a little easier for people to get and stuff. But the, Heroes Get Remembered comic on TikTok is where you can buy it.
Awesome. Is there, you know, I didn't even look at my questions this whole time, which is it's starting to morph into like, I don't need these anymore.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Cause I just kind of go with the flow. But I always ask, is there anything that we want to talk about that we haven't brought up? Because the last thing I want is, you know, to walk away from this and be like, "Dang, I wish she would have asked me this."
Ah, man, I don't know. Anything I want to talk about? Just
how to rotate your tires.
Right? I think the big thing, and this would be something that, you know, people who are, I guess, readers of my story will find out, that issue 2 is starting production this month.
All right.
So I'm really excited. I was speaking with Hudson earlier. And
Hudson Rodriguez.
Hudson Rodriguez, yeah.
Awesome. He's an illustrator.
Correct, yeah. He did interiors. He did that cover as well. Eric Rossi was a longtime friend of mine. He did the color work inside of it too.
I love the artwork. I love the layout. You know, four pages in, you have a title page. I'm stealing a lot of stuff from you. So just so you know. I don't know if I might now at this point. I don't know. I'm still toying.
The biggest thing I would say, any splash pages you have, make sure they are to proper size for the comic book page. The splash page that's inside of here, I actually had to cut off a couple panels. So you can actually see the bottom of the panel at the very top of the page, I think it is.
Which one is it?
It's the splash page just after the infamous 15 advertisement.
Okay, let me find it.
Yeah.
Infamous 15.
I'm sure, Michael,
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So that was definitely a little bit of a bummer. But I mean, the majority of the paid panels I wanted to see inside there are there. So
a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. I mean, you know, every day is something new
in
the comic book, which is really cool.
I enjoyed the story. So I liked it.
Thank you. Thank you. It really means a lot.
And I like your character bios in the back, too. That was really cool.
That was a last minute touch. Yeah. Okay. I had to fill up a couple pages and I'm like, you know what? I'll fill a character bio in. That's ripped directly from the Kickstarter page, which is kind of funny.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, right? Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, issue two, starting production.
Heck yeah.
And anybody who is, so I'm going to be, I think about end of February is when I'll have the Kickstarter started for Heart Eaters. So all the backers of Heart Eaters will receive the first five pages of Wasteland issue two. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that idea. Somebody gave me that idea a few weeks ago and I created just a landing page to give away, like a newsletter landing page to give away the first four pages of this book. So
nice.
That's been a lot of fun. I don't know if anybody signed up. Let's go look. That's okay. I don't, you know, it'll be fun. I'm loving seeing this book come together. So sweet. Go back your next Kickstarter coming in February.
Yeah, coming and end of February is what I'm saying.
Do you have a pre-launch page built?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But it's going to be something that I have to get the music video shot so I can.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So have the video on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to update my pre-launch page, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christmas break is coming. That's when I get to do all my fun projects. So.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh man. Awesome. Well, all right. So I have my fun questions that you have to live through. Suffer through whatever, and then we should be good. But who is your first favorite superhero?
It's a tough one. Superhero is vague because there's no superpowers involved with this person.
Okay,
Dick Grayson.
Dick Tracy?
No, Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson. Yes, sorry, no, but Dick Grayson.
Okay,
yeah. My boy Nightwing here, you know.
Oh, there you go. Nightwing. Okay.
Yeah. It was something about, you know, the boy wonder and the fact that a kid could be a superhero was, you know, was a big thing growing up. And it kind of evolved into like my Marvel side of things. Like I really loved Spider-Man. And then when I look at like the Turtles, who's my favorite? Of course, Michelangelo. He's the kid. You know?
Of course.
So,
he likes the pizza the most.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I'm Nightwing, Robin. He was always been my favorite.
Okay.
I remember dressing up as the Chris O'Donnell Robin from Batman Forever for Halloween one year. So
heck yeah, that was a good Robin. They did good on that one.
They did good on him. Yeah, they didn't do him dirty like some of the other places are trying to do. But I like the fact that he was a little more, you know, in his teens and he was a little more edgy of a character.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Sorry, I said Dick Tracy. I was a Dick Tracy fan. Well, I still am. But
yeah, I love Dick Tracy. I mean, that was such a fantastic, like early 90s, like just comic book film.
Right.
With the overdramatic prosthetics on the faces and stuff. And who was the only person that didn't have the prosthetics? Was that, it's
Marilyn Monroe?
No,
not Marilyn Monroe. It was Madonna, wasn't it?
Madonna.
Yeah. Sorry. Marilyn Monroe.
Then, James Caan.
James Caan. Okay.
He was one of the gangster guys, and all he had was like maybe the smallest of chin piece on him, while everyone else has like extravagant like head
caked on.
Yeah. It's such a great movie.
Right. I'm enjoying the new series that Mad Cat's doing right now.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
Man, I don't know the name of it. I just remember the cover because my dad had it in his basement. And no one in my family really cared about comics. I was the oddball out of it.
Me too.
I just remember this. It was just like almost a Conan-esque storyline where it was just about like this caveman barbarian thing. But I don't remember the name of that comic. I do know that my first comic book that I ever purchased, actually, like I said earlier, was from Secret Stash. And it was Kevin Smith's storyline for Superman and the Legion of Superheroes. It was
awesome.
Yeah.
So. I'm jealous. I'll get there next year.
The cool place.
Do you have a favorite current series?
Ooh, current series. Probably Radiant Black. No? Oh, man. Radiant Black is... it's an Image comic book put out by Kyle Higgins and Ryan Otley. It's based
around...
Now
that you mentioned that, I think I've seen the cover.
Yeah, it's so good. And you know what's... It's kind of hilarious, but it's about a comic book writer who becomes a superhero. And okay. Or actually, he's an author. I take that back. He's not necessarily a comic writer, but he's an author. His buddy is a comic book writer. But it's such a good series. It really is. And Kyle and Ryan both were writing Power Rangers at one point, and then they were writing, what was the other one? I think Kyle wrote Nightwing as well. So it's a little bit of a theme there, if you can't tell. But yeah.
That's awesome. If you could live in any comic book universe, which would it be?
You know, so much of me wants to say the DC universe, you know, and be a part of like Bloodhaven or Gotham City, but chances are I'd probably be one of the victims of like a serial killer. But I'd probably say, you know, right above me, you see I have a nice Power Rangers diorama and stuff. I'd probably live within Angel Grove. I think okay. That'd be cool.
That's cool. I was going to say Wasteland. I thought you'd go with Wasteland. But that seems
I live
like
in
a
Wasteland,
cool...
man.
You do.
Yeah.
True. You do. But that seems like a cool place to live.
Yeah. It could be.
It could be. I don't know, 9 foot tall, you know, lion that's 900 pounds or 7 foot tall lion that's 900 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, having Novak as a best friend would be pretty awesome.
That'd be pretty badass.
Yeah. I mean, my own story arc, right?
That'd right.
You think is that. Yeah.
That's all right. If you could have any superpower, everybody asks this, but it's fine. What would you choose?
You know, I'm looking at him on my wall right now. He's staring at me. He has the Carnage symbiote on one side and Venom on the other. So I think I'd have to go to Spider-Man's powers.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
I got a little 5-panel artwork where he's sitting here with his arms out and Carnage on one side and Venom on the other. But yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So this will be cool. So you pick any character. It doesn't have to be a sidekick.
Which character would I pick as my sidekick? I think I'm gonna have to go with Lucas Novak from Wasteland.
There you go. Like that.
You know,
he'd be cool to have as a good friend.
Dude, I mean, I want a bear hug from him. That's the biggest thing, man. Right? I'm feeling down. I want to call up Novak and gives me a hug, man. That guy is
right. Heck yeah. All right, if your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Life was a comic book. Oh, man, that is a tough one.
Yeah, these are the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. What would our... I'm going to go sappy here. I'm going to say to the moon and back.
The moon and back. I love
that's one of the things I used to say to my wife all the time. I love you to the moon and back. We say it to our children. So, yeah.
I love that. How many kids do you have?
We have two. So Yeah, we have a soon to be 15-year-old and then an 8-year-old.
All right, 15 and 8. Mine's 24 and 10.
All right.
Both girls.
You've been through it. Yep, two girls for me too. So.
Yeah, girl dad. I want to know what to do with a little boy, so that'd be crazy.
It's funny too. Yeah, I remember when we found out that we were going to have a girl, and I was like, I really wanted a boy. I wouldn't go back to change it, you know? Like, this is the best thing in the world, being a girl dad.
Yep, I agree. They've been awesome. My little one is amazing. My oldest is amazing. They go through a little turbulent times, but, you know.
Yeah.
My oldest didn't go through the turbulent times till she hit 19. Then it went off the deep end. So the teenage years were great. And then it went, whew. I was like, whew, that was rough. I think it would have been easier if she was a teenager. But then she was an adult going through it, and I'm like, whew, that was tough.
Yeah.
But she's coming back around. It's good. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
But yeah, this was awesome, man. I appreciate you being on. I'm going to have to add some of that beginning conversation into it as well. And, I would love to have you back, when you get your book launched again. Let's get you back on, advertise the Kickstarter.
I would love that. Yeah.
I'll put all your socials in there, TikTok and Instagram and stuff. It's on TikTok Shop. Have you sold any on TikTok Shop?
I've sold one.
Okay.
But it's something. Yeah. And actually, I found out the other day, don't mind if I do a quick plug for the shop.
Please.
It's called Comics and Coasters in Rockford, Illinois. We sold our first issue with them.
Heck yeah. So congratulations.
I dropped 5 off. Thank you. It's such a cool thing. I hit him up the other day. I'm like, hey, just want to see how it's working. He's like, I sold one so far. I'm like, that's amazing. Thank you.
Right?
So,
heck yeah. That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
We'll link all that in here. Oh, how'd the process go when you sold it? I haven't sold anything on there, so.
So the way I'm working with him, we're doing like kind of the same thing that you do with a normal like comic retailer, where you buy the issues at like a certain cost.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's buying mine at the cost
of wholesale.
Basically, wholesale.
Perfect. So, what about TikTok? How'd that go?
TikTok was relatively easy. They don't require any like LLC or anything like that. So
I mean, I have the store with just merch on it. I don't have like the book on it or anything yet. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm just curious how it works.
As long as I got the front and back cover on there, I think, with a few other, variant covers. If you have the shop already, it's pretty quick.
Pretty easy.
You're going to upload it with the description and then hope and pray, you know.
Hope and pray. Keep posting videos, man. Keep getting out in front of it, you know. Go to conventions, get a table. Maybe we'll be a C2E2 together. That'd be amazing. So
yeah, that'd be awesome.
I will definitely be up that way at some point. So we'll definitely cross paths. I look forward to that. I'm gonna be all over the place next year. So hopefully buy my books or support the podcast so I can afford to go to all these places.
that's gonna be
crazy.
The funds you're gonna be making off the shop are solely gonna be able to fund you to go to these conventions.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it's gonna do. I don't need to make a living.
Yeah. You know, my work funds are for the home. My comic funds are for the funds.
The funds. That's right. Yeah. Great advice. Well, go like, follow, subscribe, all that fun stuff to home. What is it? Say it again. Heroes Get Remembered. Sorry, I had it wrote down at the top and I didn't look at it. Heroes Get Remembered. My stuff, his stuff, Wasteland the comic. Go read it. It's amazing. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for being on with me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Onagon, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel P, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with the creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.